smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Pets provide comfort and companionship to all of us, but for those living with life-threatening illness, the elderly living alone, and those facing other challenging circumstances, pets can really be a lifeline. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today we're talking to Andrea Brooks, Director of Education and Client Advocacy for the San Francisco-based organization PAWS. Pets are wonderful support. The organization dates back to 1986, which is kind of a long time when you talk about nonprofit organizations. Andrea, tell us how it got started.
Hi, Joanne. Well, PAWS got started actually out of the HIV and AIDS epidemic in San Francisco. When that epidemic hit the city, a lot of different support groups and services kind of sprang up to start supporting that community, and the San Francisco Food Bank was giving out daily meals for people. And then what started to happen was a group of volunteers volunteering their time to give out the meals realized that some of the people were taking their food rations home to their animals rather than eating the meals themselves. So they were really neglecting their own nutrition in order to meet the needs of their animal. And when people saw that, it really started to highlight the essential connection and importance of the human-animal bond, that people were willing to sacrifice their health needs for the health needs of their animals. So what started then was people, those volunteers started advocating to carry pet food and start to supply that to people as well because they saw that need.
And that made a huge difference right off the bat, right?
Made a huge difference, and that started in 1986, and then PAWS became a separate nonprofit in 1987 with the food bank as our core, you know, the kind of cornerstone of the organization supplying those food rations.
And what populations do you serve now? Thankfully, AIDS isn't as much of a problem in San Francisco or in most places in the United States as it was back in the 80s.
Yeah, we've been able to expand, which has been great. We now can serve people with any disabling illness that's physical or psychiatric, if they're low income, as well as we can serve low income seniors in San Francisco.
And it isn't just food that you give out, is it?
No, we do a lot more now, which is also great. So we still do have the food bank, which people can access once a month. And if they're not able to come on site and get their dog and cat or other type of animal food, we can deliver it with the help of our volunteers. So there's the food bank. We can help with low-cost or subsidized veterinary care. We can help with in-home animal care if someone is mobility challenged or they're not able to, you know, do the dog walking or clean up the litter box, or we can help with nail clipping. We can also provide emergency foster care if someone has a hospitalization or any sort of housing emergency.
And is this organization just in San Francisco, just serving the city itself?
We just serve San Francisco, but when we started, there was a bunch of other similar groups that started around the country. So there's a PAWS in Los Angeles, there's a PAWS in the East Bay, there's PAWS throughout the country in Atlanta, other places.
And are they primarily volunteer-based?
They can take different forms. Volunteers are essential in all of the organizations in providing our services. We could not do what we do without the help of all of our volunteers. And I believe other organizations also have strong volunteer base as well.
So for the veterinary care that you provide, do you have veterinarians who volunteer their services as well, or how does that work?
The way that works is we have developed some strategic partnerships with veterinary hospitals in the city. For example, Pets Unlimited in San Francisco, they provide a free checkup for all of our clients' animals every year, should our clients wish to do that. And then other hospitals will accept our vouchers and also do a 25% discount on their services, and then we can put more money, our voucher system, which is $200 a year, towards any additional costs.
Do you actually help people to procure pets, or do you just help them out once they have the pets?
It's more once someone has the pet, but we can, you know, talk to people over the phone and kind of tell them what the process will be, refer them to a rescue group that might seem suited for them, kind of maybe do some basic preparation so that they're aware of, you know, what sort of animal will work best for them, starting to get them to think about that. You know, what's their lifestyle? So that way, when they go to talk to an adoption person and start looking for an animal, they know of what, you know, would be the right fit for them.
I know that so many apartments in San Francisco and elsewhere have restrictions on whether people can have pets, and I assume that most of your clients do live in apartments as opposed to in their own homes. So is that an issue for people?
It's a very big issue. That was part of some of our expansion of services beyond kind of the food bank and veterinary care and other in-home support services, was starting to do housing advocacy. And basically, there's both state and federal laws that protect people that are disabled or elderly to have support or companion animals in housing. So that is a lot of what we do. We do both education to property managers, landlords, and tenants about what this is. It's called reasonable accommodation. And then if people are having problems getting into housing or maintaining their housing because of their animals, then we can provide hands-on advocacy for them.
Aren't there websites or organizations in San Francisco, in the San Francisco area, that list landlords that are more open to animals?
There is. The San Francisco SPCA does have a listing of landlord and property management companies that will provide pet-friendly housing, but unfortunately, a lot of that is way beyond what our clients are able to afford. Most of our clients, because of their health condition, they're on disability, which means the majority are getting, you know, $800 to $900 a month to live off of, which seems pretty crazy, especially in a city as expensive as San Francisco. So based on that, it can be very challenging to try to find those sought-after apartments, which a lot of people want to get into.
Hey, it's challenging to find an apartment if you have all the money in the world.
Exactly. So it just becomes that much more difficult, especially when if you're, you know, on disability, you may also not have the best credit because you're constantly struggling with getting by day to day.
What I love particularly about your mission and what you folks do is that so often we think of a pet as being a lot like a luxury or an expense that isn't a basic necessity. And yet for many people, I'm sure it's a necessity.
It is. You know, again, it kind of goes back to when we started. People... looking at the AIDS epidemic, people's social networks deteriorated. You know, their families wouldn't necessarily be talking to them. There was an incredible amount of stigma. But every day people could come home and connect to their dog or their cat or their bird or whatever other animal that they had, and that's where they're getting their love and companionship. And while the AIDS epidemic isn't as serious today, people are still really struggling with their disabling illnesses, and they get that constant love and constant companionship for their animal.
Do you also help people who are interested in starting a similar organization in their area or working with another organization that provides some related service to create a program like this?
We do. We provide a startup packet, and we can provide as much advice and anything. Basically, we'll try to provide as much help as we can to help other people start up similar organizations. We would love to see a pause in every town and every city across the country because the need is out there. People need this type of support. And so we will definitely spend a lot of time talking with people, sharing our forms, telling them how we do things, giving them as much of the tools as they can.
How do you raise money?
We raise money, well, most of what we do is really private donations. I would say probably over 80% of our budget is, you know, people sending in $10 to $25 every month, you know, as part of their monthly contributions. So it's mainly, you know, individuals, private donors. We also do a couple fundraisers a year. We have Peckitecture, which is our signature event.
It's pretty impressive. Why don't you just tell us about it for a moment or two, and then we'll send people to the website to see some of the creations.
Sure. Peckitecture is a really fun event. We get architects and designers. They create and donate one-of-a-kind pet habitats that are really something special. This past year, we did Peckitecture Goes Green, so that all of the pet habitats and houses were made out of sustainable materials. And then people can, you know, we auction them off, and there's a lot of other things. So we do a live auction, a silent auction, there's entertainment. It's in a great hotel that's pet friendly, so it's really quite an event.
Dogs and cats everywhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, just dogs. We can't, unfortunately, mix the dogs and the cats, but there's a lot of dogs there, so it's a lot of fun.
And it's San Francisco, so they come in costume, right?
Some people definitely like to dress their pets up, that's for sure.
So tell me your website so people can go learn more about PAWS, perhaps download information to set up a PAWS in their community, and also see some of these great habitats that some of the designers and architects have created to help raise money.
Sure, it's www.pawssf.org.
So pawssf.org.
Yes.
Great. Andrea Brooks, thanks so much for being on the Good Dog Podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
As always, thanks for listening to the Good Dog Podcast. Hey, do you check out the blog? Every week I write a blog entry. I would love for you to check out that and go to Pooch Picks, which is an opportunity to not only take a look at all the various dogs owned by the people who listen to this podcast, but this week you can see some Belizean dogs. We just got back from Belize and posted a couple of pictures of dogs we found there. They don't look much different than the dogs in your neighborhood, but some cute dogs nonetheless. Thanks so much for listening, and as always, please send suggestions for topics. Send an email to gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.